Welcome to the Psalms of Histories, which is kind of a secondary Bible study series related to a bigger series we're doing called The Harmony of Histories. We are currently going verse by verse, chapter by chapter, through 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, and then we're backing in 1st and 2nd Chronicles in a harmony. So where the passages overlap, that's how we're working it. What we're adding to the mix is the Psalms of Histories, because so much of these stories that we're looking at have corresponding Psalms related to events, primarily, largely, with King David, who was known as the Psalmist of Israel. So much of David's life, he was a master musician, he was a prolific writer, all kinds of songs he would write as expressions of his heart, either going into a particular narrative or coming out of or in response to a particular narrative. David is attributed to writing over 70 Psalms. And then beyond that, there's another 8 to 10, give or take, where we don't exactly have a specific authorship attributed to David, but it seems very likely that David was the author. Where we are at currently in our travels through the histories, we are in a part of 1 Samuel where big things have been happening. The kingdom of Saul has been removed. Samuel has gone and anointed another. He has anointed David, the shepherd boy, to be the next king of Israel. Following, towards the end of that chapter, chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, King Saul, who has, the spirit has been removed, he's now being afflicted with this distressing spirit sent from God, is only finding relief from music, from worship. And so David already has this reputation of being a master musician. And so they send for David, they bring him to the palace. And David is playing music for King Saul to soothe Saul. In fact, you get to chapter 17, you find David's actually back in the field. So between these two chapters, David is going back and forth from the fields of Bethlehem to the palace of Saul. He's tending sheep. He's being faithful to his father. But when he's needed, he's being called to the service of King Saul. So David grows up in the fields. David, following a long, long history, unique history of shepherds within Israel, going all the way back to Abraham. He's in the fields keeping watch over his flock. And it's during this time, since he was a kid, all the way up through his adolescence, his teen years, the solitude out in the wilderness, in nature, just David, his harp, and the Lord. And it's during this season of where he's this shepherd, just nondescript shepherd in Bethlehem, this member of the tribe of Judah, this Bethlehemite, has this amazing connection with the Lord. Like, he develops this amazing, deep relationship with God. And it's while he's in the fields, so leading up to his anointing by Samuel, but even probably during this period of time where he's going back and forth from the king's palace back to the fields, he's probably writing a lot of songs. I have, for this period of David's life, I've pinpointed 4 psalms, I think, again, with a bit of creative license, that we could clearly see inspiration from this period of being a shepherd influencing his writing. 4 psalms. We're not going to get to all of them right now. In fact, we're just going to kind of work through this, see how it plays out. We might cover 1, we might cover 2. This might be a couple different videos. But I want to start sequentially with Psalms 8. So Psalms 8, within the Psalms, you'll note that there is kind of a prescript. You got Psalm 8, the titling, and then you have like another titled, The Glory of the Lord in Creation. And then this additional script added sometimes by the translators, often it's in the original. We read, to the chief musician on the instrument of Gath, a psalm of David. And so the text itself attributes this to being a psalm of David. Interesting that this psalm, and again, there's so many directions we could go here. I hope you understand that psalms, that's a fancy way of saying songs. What we have as the psalms are the lyrics of things that were sung, of actual songs. What we don't have is the accompanying music. We have the lyrics, we have the poetry, but we don't have the corresponding music. But we know that there was music connected to these psalms that has been lost over the centuries. This particular psalm, Psalm 8, we're told was crafted, was written. And again, the way that the Hebrews would write out poetry is very different than the way that English, the Anglo world, how we would write poetry or Shakespearean poetry, a much different rhyme, rhythm, beat, cadence. But so you have David and this particular psalm. Again, there was music. We're told that it was to be performed on the instrument of Gath. This is one of three psalms, by the way, that we have this particular designation. Psalms 8, Psalms 81, and Psalms 84 were all penned to be played on this instrument of Gath. Gath was an ancient city. It was a Philistine city. There are scholars that believe very possibly that there was a particular instrument known to be played in Gath, or maybe a style of music played in Gath that these lyrics were best accompanied with. Kind of like saying today, like, hey, here's the lyrics played on the instrument of the piano, or via ska music, or like whatever different style variety it happens to be, and jazz, or written like the blues. So we had this instrument of Gath. It's a psalm of David. Let's just work our way through it. It's a short psalm, 9 verses. This is not designed, by the way, to be a full expositional commentary on each of these psalms. We really want to just more or less just in kind of a devotional format, get a feel for what's going on in David's heart during this particular season of his life where he's just a shepherd. Where he's a shepherd before he's ever been anointed, maybe even being a shepherd after being anointed, but we'll get a good feel for David's heart, the things that are going on during this particular season of his life. This Psalms, again, Psalm 8, opens, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. I like the way that this is opened. O Lord, our Lord. You'll note, if you're following along with Psalms 8, that you find O Lord, capital, L-O-R-D, and then our Lord, lowercase, L-O-R-D. And the distinction there is that David uses our Lord, Yahweh, the name of God, and then he says, our Lord, which is a designation of the position of God. So right from the beginning, our God, who's our Lord, the name of God, the holy name of God, but you're our Lord, his position, how excellent he's thinking is your name. You know, we're told in other places that the only thing that God exalts above his name is his word, but the name of God was held in such reverence, had power by the name of God. Miraculous things happen. How excellent is your name? Now, the name of God, the position of God, but the excellency of God, not just to Israel, not just to David, but he says in all of the earth. Like, how excellent is your name in all of the earth, and you have set your glory, and then I love this, above the heavens. He's saying that, like, your glory reaches even beyond the planet. And I can see David, he's laying out in a field. There's the stars in the sky. He's got a campfire, the bleeding of sheep. He's on guard, making sure that things are protected and that predators are kept at a distance. But he's looking at the natural world, and he's looking beyond the atmosphere, and he's looking into the stars. He says, you've set your glory above even the heavens. Verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy of the avenger. This particular verse, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. This is actually quoted by Jesus during his triumphal entry, Matthew chapter 21, verse 16. To the critics that are telling Jesus that he needs to tell the people to stop crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna the King. He rebukes them using this, hey, out of the mouth of babes and infants, the Lord will be glorified. Verse 3, when I consider your heavens, what I'm thinking about, what I'm contemplating, your heavens. And then he attributes the heavens as being the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained. Again, setting this context of him probably there with the instrument of Gath, plucking away, singing, contemplating, considering, looking into the heavens. I wonder if it was a full moon. No doubt, without electricity, the stars were bright. The moon, the stars, which you have ordained. And then he says, like, in the context of this cosmos, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? He's just sitting there thinking, like, I am so small. Like, have you ever been in that situation where you've starry night? Like, it's hard to get, like, full stars here, but if you go way out into the wilderness, we used to take a trip out to West Virginia and we were 45 minutes from a cell signal. I mean, and they would kill all of the lights and your eyes would adjust and you're just overwhelmed with the starry sky. And it does, like, just the expanse makes you feel so small. And it's within that he's thinking, oh, what is man, God, that you care about us? That you want to visit with us and you want to have a relationship with us. That you're mindful. That the God of the universe is, you know, the God of the universe is mindful of you. That's amazing. He says, for you have made man a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. Again, this is an idea that gets built upon directly in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. He's thinking about humanity in the context of God and then even considering the angelic host. Fun fact, that same field in Bethlehem, the angelic host will visit another group of shepherds, keeping watch over their flocks, declaring that the Messiah, that God has become flesh and has dwelt among, same field. He's considering the angels, you've made us a little lower. How cool that that's the same place that we end up getting that first declaration that the Christ had been born to who else but shepherds in Bethlehem. He says, verse 6, you have made him, speaking of man, to have dominion over the works of your hands. Going all the way back to Genesis, Adam was given dominion over all of God's creation. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep, all oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And he ends with the same introduction, kind of some bookends to it. Again, David out in the fields contemplating God. Hey, sometimes if you need some context, a little perspective, if you need to put yourself back into an appropriate place, go get out in nature and then recognize God in it, how big he is, and that he's given us dominion. Very cool psalm. We're going to look at a few more as we close out this one. All of the media, not just from the Harmony of History series, but also all of these Psalms of Histories, you can find very easily on multiple places, multiple platforms, but specifically the church website, calvary316.tv/histories. You'll be able to get this audio as well as all the others for the series. God bless.